I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Mental health is more than a medical issue. It's also a cultural one. People from different parts of the world look at mental illness and define mental disorders in different ways. Coming up, we'll speak with an author who argues that America is foisting its ideas about mental health on the rest of the world. But first, we visit an immigrant community in the United States that has its own way of responding when someone develops severe mental illness. The affected individual is often put on a plane and sent home, back to Africa. Some are now questioning this practice for medical and ethical reasons. Laura Starczewski reports from New York.
In the West African immigrant community in the Bronx, you'll find a large man with gold-framed glasses. His name is Ibrahima Diate. He's from Senegal, and he's a go-to guy here. When people need help finding a job or an apartment, they call him. He also gets involved in cases of mental illness, and what he's done in those cases now troubles him. But he was cautioned, don't talk about it with outsiders.
They even tell me, oh, you're talking too much. They don't want to talk.
But he believes it is time to talk about how his community handles people with severe mental illness. The community repatriates them, sends them back to their home country, even when that's not what an individual wants. Diate's first experience was a few years after he arrived in New York, about 15 years ago. A friend, he says, had lost touch with reality.
He was completely out of it. You know, he was difficult to communicate with him.
Diate says it's hard to know exactly what was wrong with his friend. It may have been bipolar disorder, perhaps schizophrenia. Diate says people in the West African community don't want anything to do with psychiatric diagnoses, drug prescriptions, or therapy sessions. So the community's response wasn't to get the friend into treatment in New York. Instead, Diate and others went door to door. They raised money to buy the friend a one-way plane ticket to Senegal.
He was okay all the way to the airport. All the way to the airport, no problem. But he changed his mind there in the airport when we get to the airport. So we said, well, we're here. He said, well, I don't want to go no more.
Then the people who'd taken the man to the airport started yelling at each other, arguing about how to get him on the plane.
It was so much noise that the police came and asked what was going on. So we explained to the police. The police said, hey, you cannot force this guy to travel in this condition. If he don't want to go, he will not go.
They did get the man on a plane eventually. An old teacher of his from Senegal, someone he trusted, flew to New York and convinced him to go home. A few years later, Diate was involved in a similar case. His close friend, Draman, started having mental problems. Draman's family decided to send him back to Mali.
He didn't want to go home because he don't have money. So I think that they decided, you know, to offer him a good package. I mean, a lot of clothes, money package, everything. So he agreed.
Diate says it was the money that made Draman change his mind. He was, in essence, paid to go back to Mali. Many in Diate's community consider it an act of compassion to send someone who's ill back to Africa. It keeps the person from ending up in an American mental institution or in prison. Repatriation of the mentally ill can also be driven by pride. Mamadou Keita heads a community association that assists immigrants from his home country of Mali. When Malian citizens become mentally ill, Keita's group helps send them home. He says if Malians are left to deteriorate and perhaps end up homeless on the streets of New York, that doesn't reflect well on their country of origin.
We represent Malian culture in this country. That's why when we see things like this, we are ready to act and nip the problem in the bud before it gets bigger.
But some in the African immigrant community are reconsidering the ethics of repatriating people with mental illness. They say the practice is driven by shame. Zainab Eyega runs a community center for African women and families in the Bronx.
People don't want to associate themselves with their family with those kind of illnesses. It affects business relationships. It affects, you know, social contracts like marriage. So the repercussions are larger. So that's why people hide it.
And hide the sufferers by putting them on airplanes back to Africa. Eyega says West Africans are used to placing the good of the community first, before individual rights.
people don't think about, you know, the legalities and issues around consent.
Now, there's nothing illegal about buying someone a ticket to West Africa and encouraging him to use it. But Jeanette Zellhoff, a New York lawyer who advocates for people with mental illness, says it's coercive because families are essentially saying, get on that plane or you're on your own.
The problem is that they're not making a free choice. If they refuse to go back, they will be left without any means of support.
And some health advocates worry about what awaits mentally ill immigrants when they arrive back in West Africa. Julian Eaton is a psychiatrist with an organization called CBM that helps people with disabilities in the developing world. He's based in Nigeria, and he says in West Africa, people with severe mental illness don't fare well.
They're often treated very, very badly, and there are some appalling abuses going on. They're often put into prison and kept in a place that they're no trouble to society. Of course, that confers absolutely no benefit on them at all, but it's just a way of dealing with difficult behavior.
Eaton says that immigrants with mental illness in New York would be much better off staying in the U.S., where psychiatrists and mental health clinics are plentiful.
I think that sending someone back to an environment where they're not able to receive the kind of medication that we know is needed to keep them well is a violation of their human rights. It's taking away their right to health.
Back in the Bronx, Ibrahima Diate questions his involvement with repatriation. He wonders if sending his friends home was the right thing to do. All he's been able to find out about his close friend, Draman, is that shortly after he returned to Mali, he died.
And he was young. I think he was about like 31 or 32 years old. I don't know what killed him. I don't know if he was sick. No, I didn't get no information.
And he says he doesn't know anything about what happened to the other people he helped repatriate. No one, he says, is willing to talk. For The World, I'm Laura Starcheski in New York.
Laura Starcheski reported that story as a National Health Journalism Fellow at the University of Southern California.